The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Welcome to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week over the station at this time, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for thy divine guidance on this rather difficult text in this crooked and perverse generation. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If there's ever a subject I'm reluctant to preach on, it is this one: do not commit adultery. And the reason being that adultery is such a very, very serious sin. And many pastors have stopped preaching against adultery altogether because there are a lot of people who live in adultery or have committed adultery. And if pastors preach against people like that in their congregations, they might just lose some of them. So there's the factor of fear, the fear of man. When a sin becomes prevalent in a congregation of a minister, that minister has a tendency to avoid dealing with that particular sin rather than having the courage to confront it. But I have to go by the word of the Lord, and so I must preach on this subject in this most adulterous generation America has ever known, because if we don't preach against adultery, then we will have more adultery in the next generation. Now, I'd like to make a disclaimer. I shall not deal with all the questions of, but Pastor, what if I have committed adultery? Where do I go from there? The overwhelming weight of my sermon will be the seventh commandment: do not do it. Thou shalt not commit adultery means don't do it. This text in Exodus 20:14 of our Ten Commandments is not a text like what to do if I have done it, but don't do it to start with. This reminds me of a story when I went to Alaska to work there in my earlier days as a public health administrator. And there somebody asked the Coast Guard, what do you do when your boat capsizes in those ice-cold waters where the temperatures can easily go to 20, 30, 40 degrees below zero? And the Coast Guard officer answered very wisely by saying, don't do it. The consequence of a boat capsizing in the middle of winter and the Alaskan waters is so terrible, is so serious, that you better take all precautions that it will never ever happen to you. And the consequences of adultery are so awful that you must do all you can to prevent it. The hurt that adultery brings to husband and wife for the rest of their lifetime is without measure. Even though such a sin can be forgiven, it will never be forgotten. The hurt experienced by the children of a marriage where the husband or wife have gone into adultery, leading many times to a breakup of the home and a remarriage, this hurt experienced by children is worse than if they would have lost their father and mother in death. The hurt that this causes to friends and relatives is also very, very great. And then the damage it causes to the Church of God, the stains it puts on God's glorious church, is a great weight upon the body of Christ. So do not commit adultery. Don't do it. Now, what is adultery? Adultery is when a married man has sexual relationship with the wife of another man, or adultery is when a married woman has sexual relationship with a husband of another wife. Adultery is also when a married man has sexual relationships with an unmarried woman. And adultery really is whenever anybody, whether it's a teenager or a college student or married person, when anybody has sex with any other person than their spouse, that is adultery. Adultery, in a deeper sense, as Jesus defined it in the Sermon on the Mount, is also when a man looks after a woman to lust after her. And adultery, in an even broader sense yet, as given to us by the prophets of old, is whenever there is unfaithfulness to that to which we should be faithful. For example, Israel committed spiritual adultery by not being faithful to God, but by falling in love with other gods. So God says, do not commit adultery. Now, the primary purpose for this text, this commandment, dear ones, is a preservation of the sacredness of the marriage relationship. It tells us that sex only belongs into the marriage relationship. Sex outside of marriage is always adultery and unholy, bringing upon us the displeasure of God Almighty. And it is indeed unfortunate that our nation of America has been bombarded with movies with a new morality that teaches that sex outside the marriage relationship is just as legitimate as sex in the marriage relationship. In fact, sex outside of the marriage relationship has been glamorized by the movie industry as a whole. Most all Hollywood movies have a love affair within them, where a man and woman who are not married, they are not married to each other, have sex at some time or another, one with another. So, dear ones, it's a lie that sex outside of marriage brings you a good life. That's a big lie. On a television screen, it may look enticing and thrilling, and the way to go is generally presented with a setting of prosperity, of luxury, of glamour. But the fact is that behind the scenes, this kind of lifestyle is associated with shame, with guilt, with disappointment, with broken hearts, with hurt feelings, with anger, with bitterness, with frustration, with abortion, with unwanted children, with financial troubles and ruin. On the television screen, sex outside marriage seems to look so good to many. But my friend, when it's all said and done, many, many, many of these women and men need to seek out and do seek out a priest or a pastor to get counseling, because they feel unclean and they have the sense of guilt and shame that needs to be dealt with. I once had a beautiful woman, she was a model in New York City, speak from my pulpit. She was marvelously saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. But of her previous life, she said this, quote, "Every time I was with a man, in the middle of the act, I would see this picture of my praying mother crying out to God that I would keep my life pure. I never, never enjoyed one moment of sex with anyone of the hundreds of men I had," unquote. Oh, the seventh commandment cries out to us this very day, thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Adultery is a sin so severe that it was punishable by death in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it says that anyone who commits adultery shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the Old Testament passage is in Deuteronomy 22:22. It says, if a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. The judgment on adultery was so and is so severe because marriage is so sacred in the eyes of God. You see, when a man and woman go to bed one with another, whether it be a believer with a believer or a believer with an unbeliever or unbeliever with unbeliever, whether they're married or not married, something more than a physical union occurs. Something more is underneath these words, one flesh. And let me read to you from Genesis 2:24. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And the phrase one flesh here does not only mean physical oneness, where two bodies become as one body. The Hebrew scholars tell us, and Jesus confirms it, that this means a union of body and spirit, an entire union. Dr. Kyle Delitzsch, one of the most foremost German Hebrew scholars, says on this, quote, one flesh phrase, the leaving of father and mother, which applies to the woman as well as to the man, the conjugal union is shown to be a union of spiritual oneness, a vital communion of heart as well as body, in which it finds its consummation. Unquote. So this mystery of a man and a woman coming together, my friend, is taught throughout the Bible. Jesus also refers to this in Matthew 19. He actually quotes Genesis and says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, when a Christian woman says, Pastor, my husband and I were married before we were saved, so God did not put us together. That was our decision, not God's decision. But now the woman says, I got saved, and I've been saved for 2 years. My husband doesn't want to get saved, and I need a Christian husband who will pray with me. I need a Christian father who will take my children to church and be an example. So I believe that this new man, I fell in love with this Christian man over there, is to be my husband, and I should divorce my unbelieving husband that I now have. Right or wrong? Oh, what clever, clever reasoning. It comes right out of the pits of hell. My friend, anytime you go to bed with a person, any person, believer, unbeliever, husband or prostitute, you become one with that person. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. We're now in the New Testament, my friend, and here the Apostle Paul says, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot, that's a prostitute, is one body, for two, says he, that is God, shall be one flesh. The oneness occurs once a man goes to bed with any woman. So if you go out to a prostitute after you're married and you do your thing, my friend, then you are one with your wife, of course, and you also now are one with this prostitute. What a mess. Of course, your covenant relationship is with your wife, and you need to go back to her and ask for forgiveness and repent and stay joined to her till death do us part. But I want you to see the seriousness of committing adultery, the awful, awful problems it creates. Thou shalt not commit adultery is the best. Our Father, we pray for thy divine Holy Spirit to help all of our young people to keep themselves pure, that they will not have to live with the consequence of shame and of guilt the rest of their lives. And we pray, dear Jesus, for those who have committed adultery. They have sinned against you and humankind, and Lord, they need much help, much love, and we pray that you will help them to come to a place of purity and victory once again. For this we ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. I'm Pastor Schulze. I invite you to listen to the Call to Obedience radio program again next week. Goodbye now. Until then.